Let's go out to the Nemecolon fan hotline where we find Jonathan Bomboli of The Trib. I only have him on when Ron is off, kind of like Sean Gentile. I'm afraid to ask Ron for permission to have Jonathan on. We established that. Were you on yesterday or the day before, Jonathan? Now I can't remember.
Day before. And after that, I was thinking back, and I've had more interactions with Rob than I was letting on the other day. We've talked quite a bit when we're covering stuff. I believe we have a mutual dislike for someone, and we would talk about that periodically.
I wonder who... Me? I hope it's not me.
It's definitely not you. It wouldn't really be that hard to guess, but I don't want to...
No, I understand. Air dirty laundry. Jonathan, when I was in my physical prime... I could do 3 pull-ups. I was in a gym with my daughter, who's 14, the other day, and realized that I'm down by 3, which is none. I can't do a single pull-up. How many could you do, and should I be ashamed of myself?
I don't think I've ever even tried. That's a really hard exercise, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, you know, you have to have a sliding scale based on age, and you know, I think there are, if you have certain standards, I think you've set your standards too high there. If you're able to, you know, more reasonable goals, Joe, you need to set for yourself, I think.
1 seems like a reasonable goal. At least it did until I tried it, and then it all went south. Jonathan, Kasperi Kapanen is out. Jari might be coming back. He's apparently a game-time decision. A lot of things happening with the Penguins right now. I know I asked you this the other day. Well, you know what? I'll rephrase the question, and I'll point it right at Kapanen. And what was Ron Hextall thinking when he made this signing?
Yeah, I mean, well, the signing, I mean, that's sort of the going rate, I guess, for a player with some potential and who could possibly play in your top 6 if he had to. But I have a hard time justifying that. I mean, I don't, a young player with some upside, you don't just let him walk for nothing. I think that's the answer to your question, Joe, is that, you know, that would be bad asset management. If you just said, you know what, this guy's been disappointing, I'm not offering him a contract. Good luck in your future endeavors. I don't think that's a good way to do business. So, and then you had to pay the going rate. And so that's what it is. So, I mean, I think the idea of trading him was a good one. Now he's hurt, can't do it. I think there were some moments this year where he started to look like a player and you probably could have traded him. Theoretically, I don't know. I mean, you know, the market is what it is and it's hard to say, but, I'm interested in Kapanen. I always have been because he's a guy with tools. He has offensive talent and he's a great skater. And then he came in with Toronto and they sort of did what happens to a lot of, you know, young offensive talents. They sort of beat him down and taught him to be a bottom 6 guy. And, you know, a lot of guys, that's how they break into the NHL. You know, they can't just hop onto a top 6. You got to come in, you know, pay your dues, be a bottom 6 guy for a little while, kill some penalties, and you work your way up in the lineup. It's a tried and true method, except for Kapanen, it just kind of broke him. And you see the flashes of a guy who can really skate and has, you know, a creative player, a talented player. And then he disappears for long stretches at a time. But the thing is, he's never been the kind of guy who's like a total liability, right? Like, you don't, he's not a guy that you're afraid to put on the ice because a puck's going to end up in your net. And there are guys like that. So to me, that's what makes him so interesting, is that his bad games aren't horrible, but his good games are so infrequent. And so like it's in there, but it just doesn't come out.
Jonathan, I'm from Long Island, as you may or may not know, born in Northport, Long Island.
What?
Yeah, it's true.
This is a shocking revelation.
It's true. I was born in Northport, Long Island, lived on Dock Street for 2 years, 3 years, Then we lived in Stockholm, Sweden for a year. I bet you didn't know that either, did you?
You're making all this up.
No,
you're
I'm not.
Buffalo.
No, I grew, and then by, well, I was like four or five when we got back to Buffalo, and that is where I grew up. But this is, I like to ask you about strange stories I come across, and this one was from Long Island. It's from March 3rd, 1876, so perhaps Ron covered this event, I don't know, in Bath County, Long Island, I think. Residents claimed that large pieces of meat, which looked like beef, suddenly fell from the sky in short periods between 11 a.m. and noon. A witness recalled the sky was perfectly clear at the time and the falling meat, quote, felt like snowflakes. Did this actually did this actually happen? Was there a meat shower?
I could see like little kids running around sticking their tongues out to like catch snowflakes like you do with snowflakes. I don't know, man. You've heard, okay, well, first of all, there wouldn't be a whole lot of, like, air travel, if any. There would be none on that date. So it's not like a plane dropped some meat, which would, as insane as that sentence is, would probably be the most likely explanation, right? I've heard stories about it raining frogs in certain areas. Like, there's something about humidity and the frogs get sucked up into a cloud and then rained back down. So could the same thing happen to meat? Like in a tornado sort of way?
I don't know.
I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah. Read about it. It's called the Great Meat Shower. Look under that headline. Maybe Ron did have a column. Maybe he was live. That brings up another topic. For some reason, we got into Shakespearean plays earlier. Sean, don't call him Seth Meyers, and myself. And I'm curious, even back then, because we were talking about columns and columnizing and opinions on sports and when press box came into vogue, at a Shakespearean play, we were also wondering if Ron may have covered some of those at Stratford, at Avon. Were there critics on hand, and did they have little press boxes? I wondered if perhaps the next day somebody quilled out a column and the town crier may have critiqued the Shakespeare play. Were there press boxes back then, Jonathan?
Well, it's funny because there is lots of literary criticism that goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. So there were definitely critics, and those critics definitely watched the plays. So you're only one small step away from having a press box. So the question is, did they sit in a particular area?
Yes.
Together?
Right.
I think my inclination is to say no. Like the weird thing is that like critics at plays and concerts, and this applies to sports writers too, at some point it became decided that those people didn't have to buy tickets because the commerce of it all was such that the people putting on the concert or the play or the sporting event wanted the coverage.
Yes.
And that coverage would help them sell tickets in the long run. So did the coverage of Shakespeare's plays help him sell tickets to those shows? I would think yes. I would think even more so than now. I would think giving free tickets to critics what's embarrassing? I was going to say what year, but I can't even – I'd be so wrong. What year was Shakespeare actively writing plays?
See, I'm afraid to say that, too, because I'm going to say something that's like 4,000 years off.
I think it was like 1600, right?
There's Sean, right there. That's Sean Meyers, Jonathan. Have you two met?
No.
Wonderful man. 1600s, Sean?
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. I think that's right.
So I think in the 1600s, your options for advertising the fact that you had play tickets for sale would be very limited. And I would think you'd want those town criers more than ever. So
can you imagine? Go ahead. Finish, please.
I've talked it through, and I think, yes, there were definitely press boxes at 6 years in place.
So did I. So do I. And then the question becomes free food, things like that. I mean, I don't know what they ate back then. Would they just throw like a dead cow on the table for the sports writers or the critics? And then also, can you imagine the pressure of meeting deadline with a quill? instead of a typewriter or a computer. That would have been rough, yeah. No?
Especially if you had to write all fancy, you know, like they did. Like, you can't just scribble now.
You had to write in calligraphy. Yeah. Not only did you have a meet deadline and rip Shakespeare, you had to write it in calligraphy.
I've seen your notes, too. They're the most illegible thing I've ever seen in my life. You like to, when you take notes in an interview, you like to, like, scribble on a napkin.
Yeah.
It's like, it's you don't even have a notebook. And now you're talking about calligraphy?
It's funny you should say that, because in front of me are my show notes, and they're on my, what is this, my gas bill from Columbia Gas. That's where my notes are right now.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
This is fascinating.
You should do your show notes in calligraphy sometime.
My mom used to write in calligraphy. I'm fascinated by this now, is when this all began, and the critics, and when people started to, like, get pissed off at critics. Probably Shakespeare, maybe before that. I mean, were there people critiquing, like, Viking? We talked about this the other day. You were talking about these Viking sojourns where they would go out and conquer people and then come back. Were they critiqued on this at all? Was there a traveling writer, a beat writer, so to speak, with the Vikings?
No, that would be a dangerous profession. Because, I mean, I think, Joe, you and I have both been in a position where somebody that you wrote something about didn't like it and gets in your face about it.
Yes.
If you wrote something a Viking didn't like, he'd just chop your head off with an axe.
I had a run-in with Hans Janssen once in the Penguins locker room. I didn't feel physically threatened, but you're right. I mean, there would have been a lot of pressure to sort of go along with the home team if you were covering the Vikings on a raid of a monastery or something, right? You got to write a favorable game story there.
Yeah, to say the least. And nobody would blame you. You talk about the history of it. I'm interested in the future of it. I don't know. Like, that relationship where, you know, and it's sports, but it also applies to the arts, of giving critics free tickets to your show because it's good publicity, I don't know how valuable that is anymore. I wonder if it's going to end at some point. If there's going to be a team that says, you know what, you can cover our team, but it's $125 a game just like anybody else.
Oh, yeah, not to mention, like, the vitriol people feel toward the media. We've already seen political conventions where people practically cover them from a cage, if not literally. So we may reach the point in 5 years where you and I are writing about, you know, the Penguins game in a dungeon or something, right? Forget it. Forget about free food.
Sure, and there's definitely value in an independent press covering a team. I mean, huge value. Because somebody has to be honest about it. And if you're being paid by the team, you just can't be. The Viking might cut your head off. But, you know, there's value in that to the consumer. But is there value in that to the team? I don't know that there is.
Speaking of the future of sports, I had a sports TV guy on the other day. We're talking to Jonathan Bomboli of The Trib. And I told him just to let his imagination flow as to what we might see in the future of sports on television. And one of the things we both saw was us being able to sit at home live during a game for money, of course, and press a button and get a really different view of a play, like an all 22 play replay of in an NFL game. Or could I press a button and be transported with headphones or, you know, whatever they use for video games and stuff to on the Penguins bench or something? Will we be able to make play calls? We already can in some of these ridiculous football leagues. I don't know. People think it's laughable, some of this stuff. I thought it would be laughable, you know, 40 years ago to see some of the stuff we see now. Where are we headed? What's something unbelievable? I talked to a guy at my stepson's wedding whose name is Max, who works on spaceships, and he tells me there's going to be a space station. There already are. We've had a presence in space, a human presence, for the most years in a row right now than at any time in human history. He tells me we're going to have, like, civilizations on space stations fairly soon. And I said, well, we have sports leagues and teams up there. He said, who knows? We might. So where are we headed, Jonathan? What can you imagine?
Yeah, we already had somebody hit a golf ball on the moon, and that was like 50 years ago or more. I'm doing my bad history again. Okay, well, first of all, the idea that and we've heard talk about how you could, you know, have whatever camera angle you want when you're watching a game, and that's going to be something in the future. That doesn't appeal to me at all. Like, that's a director's job. I don't want to do the director's job for him. I want him to do it because he's the professional. So that doesn't really appeal to me. But like a VR kind of experience where you'd actually be, you know, it would appear as though the game was happening right around you. I think that's something that might be the future. But I don't know, man. Every experiment with that sort of virtual reality, you know, Facebook does some stuff. It hasn't really moved me. I mean, it just seems kind of goofy at this point.
What if I could take you down to the Penguins bench? What if you could put on those VR headphones and something else, whatever it is, and for you'd have the option to go down on either team's bench and hear what was happening?
Yeah, but I would want a director to play the good stuff. Because otherwise, it's just, you know, a bunch of Canadians yelling in funny accents about good job, boys, and that kind of stuff. I mean, you heard that the majority of it is not interesting. I want somebody to curate the good stuff for me. I will say this. I think whatever innovations in television broadcasting we see in the next few decades, I think it'll probably be sort of driven by the porn industry, because that's probably how it's going to happen.
Wow, that took a turn. And I was just about to say that.
I'm just saying, like, who's motivated to really do, like, weird virtual reality stuff?
Probably yeah, no, I hear you. Dreams, separate from the porn industry, I'm moving on here. My dreams, like everyone's, I would imagine, are unbelievably realistic at times. I actually played in a Celtics-Lakers final in a dream. I mean, it actually happened. It was real. Have you ever had sports-related dreams like that? And my continuous sports nightmare is that I forgot my sneakers for a basketball game. It keeps coming back to me. Not every day, but, you know, once every couple of years, I'll dream that I forgot my sneakers for a basketball game. But the other one, it was unbelievable how real it was. I was on the court with Magic and Bird, and I was playing in the game. As far as, like, my brain and body is concerned, I played in the NBA Finals.
That would be a cool one. There's some technology. Wouldn't you like to have a recording of that so you can sort of watch it?
Yes. But yes.
It's funny you ask this, because I had just last night I had a dream that is sports related, and here's what it was. My buddy from college, the Greaser, was playing Tecmo Bowl against Rex Ryan in my college apartment. Now, well, I have never met Rex Ryan and know nothing about Rex Ryan. I've just seen him on television. But he was playing Tecmo Bowl against the Greaser in my college apartment.
Is there more?
No, that's it. Rex Ryan was playing as the Bears. I couldn't tell you why I had such a ridiculous dream, but yeah. That one about not being able to find your shoes, I mean, that's a common variation on a dream that I think a lot of people have, that you, like, it's something that basic that you're trying to do that you always do, and you're just unable to do it. And
yes.
It's super frustrating.
Late for the test.
Right. I always have it with, like, I have to cover something or I have to be at a meeting and I can't find my car. That, like, I parked it in a parking lot.
Yes.
And I can't find it.
Yes.
And I'm just walking through a parking lot trying to find my car for hours, and it's a horrible feeling. And you're very happy when you wake up. I don't know. That I think that's like a common human experience. It just has different variations.
Yeah. Me too. And I have another one that has recurred where my teeth disintegrate. They turn to like sawdust and just fall out of my mouth. It's horrifying, Sean. Do you have anything like this, Sean?
Not in regards to dreams, but I got to tell you, Joe, I actually play VR. I have a VR headset and everything. You need to come over. Your mind legitimately will be blown. There's like golf. You can golf. You can play ping pong. You can bowl. It will change your outlook on the future of virtual reality.
I will come over. Perhaps I'll bring Jonathan. Jonathan, what did you make of what Seth just said?
I'm just behind. I haven't seen any of that good stuff, like recent stuff. I'm open to it, yeah.
The whole Rex Ryan thing brought me back to the Stanley Cup Finals of 2017, where they wanted me at the Post-Gazette to do postcards from Nashville. And what I have here is a postcard that says, what does Jim Colony have to do with Rex and Rob Ryan's Nashville bar fight? Which is an unbelievable headline. And then I have a photo of Colony and Rex Ryan from a bar in Nashville. This was not a dream either, or a nightmare. And the lead to my postcard is, I'm still not convinced Jim Colony didn't cause the widely publicized bar fight involving the Ryan brothers, Rex and Rob, at a Nashville bar Sunday night. And then there's video of a fight, and somehow Dan Kangurski is involved here.
Are you sure this wasn't a dream?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is real. I'll tell you the story.
I do vaguely remember a fight involving Rex Ryan, yeah.
Here's what Colony said at the time. He was walking back from a media happy hour after Penguins practice during the Stanley Cup final with his colleague Dan Kangurski. They spotted Rob Ryan, who's even more recognizable than Rex, that's me editorializing right now, sipping a margarita at a bar appropriately called Margaritaville, right near Bridgestone Arena. Colony approached Rex Ryan, not Rob, but Rex, who was wearing a Bryce Harper jersey, takes a picture with him. Next thing he knows, there's a fight. Now, it happened about an hour after Colony left, but I didn't believe him. I think somehow Colony caused that fight. And you said you have a vague memory of Rex and Rob being in a fight, don't you?
I do. But I'm glad you have documentation of it, because I thought it was some kind of Mandela effect hallucination.
No, this happened, and I was there.
Yeah, it really did.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
That was a very light thanks. Would you like any parting words with Sean?
No, but I'm willing to. I'm not so old that I'm dismissing the VR gaming idea. I think it has potential.
Perhaps we can arrange a field trip. I am legitimately interested in that. For example, Sean, if we came over, you'd fit us with VR glasses?
So it's just a headset.
And
I think in the future, it will be a full body experience. Right now, it basically tracks your head and your hands.
Well, then we get back into Jonathan saying this is more geared toward the porn industry than anything else, correct?
I mean, that's part of it, for sure.
You could go do virtual pull-ups.
That's very true. Thank you, Jonathan.
You bet, Joe.
Where do we go from there? Any ideas, Sean?
You know, that's usually something that Ron would be good to transition into something else if he were here.
I am absolutely going to take a photo of this Colony with Rex Ryan here. Let's get back to the playoffs. There's one big question in the AFC that I want to get into, and I want to tell you how I think these games will go. Who are you rooting for? Is there a Pittsburgh rooting interest with these? How many teams are there? Eight? Yeah, eight. Is there a Pittsburgh rooting interest for you, or rooting interest in general with any of these teams? We'll talk about that. It's Cook and Joe. Ron will be back on Monday. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit him online at southhillsjeep.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line at 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. How many of these games just come down to random acts of luck or fate or whatever you want to call it? I'm looking at 4 years ago today, I think, was Chiefs-Patriots. Maybe not today. Yeah, who cares? I'm watching the game. Remember that AFC title game? Incredible game. Patriots win 37-31 in overtime. They had the stones to call a flea flicker in overtime. Plus, on their late game drive, there was a bogus roughing the passer that worked to the benefit of Tom Brady. Then I think of last year's game, Bills Chiefs in the playoffs, where literally a bounce of the ball or the Bills' stupid defensive call or whatever the difference between those two teams was just, there was none. It was just, which way is the ball going to bounce at the end here? And then we write and talk about these grand, with these grand pronouncements of who was better and who choked and who, it was just a bounce of a ball. That's all. Patrick Mahomes, I think, is the best quarterback in football and one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time right now. If he retired tomorrow, he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer for me. And yet Mahomes loses at the end of every year. Because most people do, right? Even the great ones didn't win the Super Bowl most of the time. Not even Brady. He came the closest. But so many of these games are just a little, it's luck. You have to have luck.
Or win the coin toss in that game you referenced from
that,
last year.
A luck, right? What is a coin toss but random luck? Our social media biggest loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Once again, I'm in a horrible mental funk. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. It's back to that old thing of how everything we say and do is immediately in the past. I keep coming back to this one. Speaking of recurring dreams, this is like a bad dream. Every single thing that happens is now in the past, including that, including that, including that, including that. I can't get out of it. It's a vicious cycle, circle, suction. I can't get out. Everything I just said is in the past. So is that, so is that, so is that. How do I get out of it?
But everything you're about to say is in the future.
Not that. That's in the past. Any recommendations to how to get out of this cycle? I can't get out. Did you watch Warriors Celtics last night?
I did not. What happened?
Not much. It's the last team I get viscerally angry over is the Warriors. I love them. It's the last team I'm rooting for in sports. I don't know. Curry had a chance to win at the end and didn't. Is there a team in Pittsburgh that, with these eight, the final eight in the NFL, that you desperately want to win, or maybe more emotionally, desperately want to lose the most? How about you, Seth? Is there one team like it would make you really happy above all others to lose? Bengals? And cocky little Joe Burrow? Is he trending toward cocky? Has he gone from lovable little Joe Burrow to cocky Joe Burrow?
I would say cocky, but not really in a terrible way. I don't think he's a villain by any means.
Okay. Fair enough. Do you want them to lose, though? Or do you want them to win? Are you in the college mindset where you want your conference team, in this case your division team, to win?
I'm rooting for Buffalo.
So am I. And so is the whole country. I hope. I'm rooting for Buffalo. If I pick a team that I want to lose more than any other, I mean, it's always Jerry Jones. I can't stand that guy. I hope he loses. And I hope he well, he's done a great job of it for the last, 25 years? 30 years? God bless me. I want him to lose. Is there anyone else that I really, really want to lose? Not really. I don't find the Bengals that objectionable. The Jags would be second to the Bills in terms of winning. I love a good underdog story. I'm a big Niners backer in terms of I like the way they do business. I love Kyle Shanahan. Brock Purdy, they're third for me. How about you?
Well, the Niners are my favorite team, so.
Oh. Why didn't you mention that at the beginning of the show when I had the Pickett Purdy thing going on? Feel free to jump in whenever you want. Folsey does. He takes over the show.
I've been a Niners fan since about 1996, right after they actually won their last Super Bowl, which stinks for me because I didn't witness that. I mean, I watched the game, but I wasn't cheering them on. Became a fan like the next year, and I've been on their bandwagon ever since. And I've seen a couple of losses in the Super Bowl, but no wins.
Well, just to continue with the 30 for 30 theme, I just saw, I've watched 10 sports documentaries this week. Calipari, Loyola Marymount. Why can't I think of the coach's name?
Westhead.
Paul Westhead. Thank you, Sean. And one the other night on Ricky Waters. Who would have thought he had his own little NFL, what do they call it? Football life. Very interesting life for Ricky Waters. Easy guy to like, at least at the time of the thing, when he was, whenever this was made. I don't know what's happened since, if anything, but I like Ricky Waters a lot. Do you remember him? Were you a fan when he was running the ball for them?
So he had just left. I think Dion had just left. I don't even remember who the running back was when I started liking them, but they got Garrison Hurst shortly thereafter. But I did miss Ricky Waters. I think he was in Philadelphia.
I never thought I would hear the name Garrison Hurst as long as I lived. There it was, Garrison Hurst. He was pretty good.
He was. He had a very serious injury that almost ended his career, a vascular necrosis, which is the same thing Bo Jackson had, but came back and had a second run with the Niners after that.
Sean dropping an esoteric medical term on the show. That was gigantic. What was the injury?
I think it's a vascular necrosis. It's when the bone basically dies. That's what ended Bo Jackson's career with his hip. With Garrison, I think it was his ankle.
Bo Jackson's injury occurred the week before the Raiders came to Buffalo and lost 51-3 to the Bills. Here's my rooting interest for each team in order. One, the Bills. I desperately want them to win for all my friends and family back in Buffalo. And I also think that they've become the nation's choice. DeMar Hamlin, maybe he'll be at the game this week. I want them to win. They're a clear number one. Number two for me is the Jags. I'm a big Doug Peterson fan. Love a good underdog story, as I mentioned. Number three for me would be the Niners for reasons I mentioned. And then we get into teams I either want to lose or don't care about. No. Let me put the Eagles up there. My new daughter-in-law, Abby, is a big Eagles fan, and her family's very nice, even though they're Philly fans. So I'd like to see her happy. I wouldn't mind the Eagles winning. I also like Jalen Hurts. Giants don't care about. No feelings. I do like Saquon Barkley. I'll say that. Chiefs I'm sick of. I don't want to see the Chiefs. I'm sick of it. You know, I respect them, but get them out of here. You agree, Sean?
I don't want to see the Chiefs, but that's because I think they're the biggest threat in the Super Bowl if my team were to get there. I've already dealt with that once, and it didn't turn out well.
Interesting. Then, who else is even left here? The Bengals? I don't really want to see the Bengals win. No, they're seventh on my list. And then the Cowboys are the team I least want to win. I want to see them suffer a horrible loss. Gut-wrenching, brain-splitting, soul-crushing loss. The kind we have with the Bills every year. All right, Sean. Ron is not going to appear next, but he is going to deliver, or has he delivered his picks to you? Is that the way we're doing this?
The selections are in.
Who goes first? Did he mention?
It will be, we will alternate.
Right. So whose pick is first on, forget it. However he wants you to do it next. This guy, even when he's not here, tortures me. Right? Did I do Social Media's Biggest Loser yet? Who did I mention?
You did not pick a nomination for that.
Oh. Well, go to awaken180weightloss.com. I'll just pick Zach Wilson, because I just saw a note on social media via at MLF football. Zach Wilson was, quote, late to meetings, screwing around at meetings, and not having the right attitude, per the Schultz report on the Pat McAfee show. Not well regarded by his teammates. Gee, you think? They actually wore T-shirts with the second string quarterback's photo plastered to the T-shirts on a road trip that Zach Wilson was on. That was in honor of the great Mike White from the Post-Gazette and also Jets backup quarterback. Can you imagine being Zach Wilson, heading, you know, you park your car right next to the plane, if I know these charter flights well. I used to travel on them with the Penguins. You hop on the plane and everybody on your team has the backup quarterback's photo on a shirt. That wouldn't feel too good, Seth, would it?
That would be like me wearing a shirt with Malzi's face on it while I produce your show.
Or Ron Cook, like you showing up today with a Ron Cook shirt. Seriously.
I'd wear that hat that he wore back in that 1990s Barry Bonds clip.
The Barry Bonds hat. I love that one. All right. Thank you, Sean. Do you feel bad that I had you get 20 clips for the show today, none of which I used?
No, it's okay. We
over-prepared.
You never know what's going to come up.
Exactly. That's the right attitude. Let's make our picks. Ron and I, coming up next on Cook and Joe.
Sean Myers with your fan.
Yes, Sean, we begin. I should say we end where we began. I can see my life before me, running rings around the way it used to be. I saw Stephen Stills once in Buffalo. I also saw Richie Havens in a little venue. You ever heard of him?
No clue on that one.
Legendary. Became legendary at Woodstock. One of the great acoustic guitar players of all time. However, it was the first night I ever got caught drunk at my house. I mixed wine and beer watching Richie Havens and wound up, I think, trying to sleep in the bathtub. And my dad was actually cool about it. Basically said, don't do that again. Thanks.
Hopefully there's no water in there.
No. David Crosby's passing yesterday made me think of songs like this. All right, Sean. What's Cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester. Thank you, Mr. Hester, very kindly. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, Route 19 in the South Hills. Start the new year off with a great deal in a new or pre-owned vehicle and online at sunchevy.com. Mix of rain and snow, high of 37. So let's pick the games. Ron and I usually alternate. Ron wanted to make sure that we each had, you know, one of us goes first and the other guy goes first, because if not, then I could play off Ron's pick, right? I could try to game the system, if you will, Sean.
You would tail him.
Yeah, let's go first. I'm up 2-0, by the way, with only 7 games left in the playoffs. So who cares that he won the regular season? I'm going to win the Super Bowl. Jacksonville at Kansas City. -9 for the Chiefs. I'll let Ron go first here.
Ron's choice, Kansas City.
Mine too. I went back and forth here. Trevor Lawrence could make this a close game because he's playing with house money now. Just wing it around. But they already played this game this year, and it was one of the few that wasn't a one-score game for Jacksonville. The Chiefs were up 20-0, were toying with them, and wound up winning 27-17. I'll go first on the New York Football Giants at Philly. -7.5 for the Eagles. I think the Eagles have been coasting for a while. Their quarterback was hurt. I think they're going to deliver a big reminder of who they are, which is the best all-around team in football and one that already beat the Giants 48-22. They're going to blow their doors off. Thank you, Sean. Cincy at Buffalo, -5.
You didn't get Ron's pick on that.
No, I don't care. What does he have?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
See, he's copying me even when he's not here. Cincy at Buffalo, -5.5. What's going on here? The Bills aren't even playing well. Their quarterback keeps throwing it to the other team at the worst part of the field at the worst time in the game. Joe Burrow's going to walk in here, injuries on his offensive line or not, and win the game outright, Bengals.
Ron's choice, Cincinnati.
And then I'll give Ron the last choice, Dallas at San Fran. Who's he got? -4 for the Niners.
To my dismay, Ron has chosen the Dallas Cowboys.
Very interesting. I'm going to choose against Ron. There's the possibility. I think Prescott's playing well. They're healthy defensively. Micah Parsons is a monster. But if you're asking me on a given day, do I want Mike McCarthy or Kyle Shanahan, I'm going Shanahan. I'm going Niners. I think that's the second best team in football right now. I'm going to pick them to cover in what's going to be a really, really good game. I can't wait for Cincy, Buffalo, or Dallas, San Fran. Sean, you had a hell of a game today. If you were a pitcher, it was a complete game. 3-hit shutout. You're one of the finest men who have ever walked this planet, and I'll see you next week. I don't know who's in. You?
I'll be here next Wednesday. So
next Wednesday. I could see Jolie. I could see who else?
Nicholas Callis.
Nicholas Harry Callis, Pomp Jr. Have a great weekend.
God bless.
See you, buddy.